The cry of the Christian rooted in Scripture is, I'm with Peter. I'm with Peter. How or why? Well, there are more than 20,000 different Christian denominations. And there are churches, let's be honest, with all due respect to our generous volunteers who sing for us once a month, who have way better choirs, professional musicians, thousands of dollars in stage and sound equipment and setup that is extraordinary, that is on the level of a concert you pay for. The music's better. There are Christian churches where it is packed on Sunday morning. They literally fill football stadiums of people, tens of thousands, more packed than our churches. There are Christian churches out there whose preaching is far more relatable and frankly just plain better than our churches. There are Christian communities out there who are not Catholic whose ushers are the most friendly, inviting, kindest people you'll ever meet. You want to come back just to meet them. All due respect to our ushers. The fact is, in different Christian denominations, you may find a better experience on those levels than in the Catholic Church. So why on earth are you Catholic? If there's better preaching here, better music there, friendlier ushers over there, packed stadiums here, why? When you could come into church and drink a Starbucks during the homily, why would you come here? Well, at the Second Vatican Council, one of the big changes that was made, the first, was to the liturgy. Obviously, those of you who have lived before 1963 remember. And one of those changes wasn't just to the language of the liturgy, per se, but more importantly, I would argue, the addition of Scripture that would be read at Mass. A lot more Scripture was added to the reading of daily and Sunday Masses than had preceded Vatican II. And in that, the bishops were very intentional to always make sure that the Old Testament that was read at Mass was directly connected to the Gospel. Because in the dogmatic constitution on divine revelation from Vatican II, they said famously, the New Testament is hidden in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is made manifest in the New. And so to highlight that in the Mass, they intentionally chose the first reading for the Old Testament to be directly aligned with the Gospel. And what do we hear in the Old Testament? We go back to the kingship of David, the great king, the king who consolidated the 12 tribes of Israel and brought peace after conquering their enemies, blessed and anointed, chosen by God, able to rest against his enemies and enjoy the fruits of his labors coming from God's blessings. And in this kingdom of Jerusalem, which is literally a city built on a rock in Israel, what is today Israel, surrounded by this massive wall, there were keys to get in or out. There was a main door into the kingdom to come and to go. And as king, David decided if it was open or closed. But he gave that authority to implement this teaching of his as king to Eliakim. Eliakim was his key holder, the gatekeeper, if you will. Eliakim locked and unlock those doors. If he locked them, you could not get into Jerusalem. The walls were too high, and you would be killed by someone's arrow at some point or sword trying to get over it. Many had tried and failed under King David. But if he opened the doors, you could come in. It was all up to Eliakim, by the decision of King David, who entered the kingdom of Jerusalem and who didn't, who stayed and who had to leave. And the New Testament is hidden in the Old. Remember, the New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. The Hebrew Scriptures is the foundation of our faith. Without that, Christianity makes no sense. Not at all. The Hebrew Scriptures inform us of how and who Jesus is, the fulfillment of the Law and the Prophets. You remember a few weeks ago, we celebrated the Transfiguration, where Jesus is transfigured in glory on Mount Tabor, and who's standing next to him? Elijah, symbol of the prophets, the one taken up by a chariot of fire and horses into heaven, and Moses, the author of the law. In Peter seeing Elijah and Moses on either side of Jesus, transfigured in glory, he knows Christ is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Let us build an altar here for each one of you. No. Jesus tells him, after the Father speaks, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Let us go to Jerusalem. There I will make an altar to the Father from the cross." And so we see how in the kingdom of David, Eliakim is the key holder and David is the great king. And ever since David, the prophets have foretold of a greater king of the line of David who would come, the Messiah, to save us from our sins, not to conquer the enemies outside, but more importantly, our enemies within, vice and sin, and the temptation to sin, and the desire to sin, that he would come to set us free and establish a permanent new Jerusalem. That, of course, is Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Jerusalem of which he is king is not in Israel, but in heaven, the heavenly Jerusalem. And if he is the successor and fulfillment and perfection of what prefigured him in King David, well, then who is Eliakim? Who decides who gets into heaven and who doesn't? Who holds the keys to that kingdom? And we see it in Matthew 16 today. You are Peter. And what does he say? You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Remember, the actual earthly Jerusalem, the city in Israel, is literally built on a massive rock. And there's valleys all around it. Actually, the Garden of Olives looks down over into Jerusalem. The view from there is spectacular. Jesus looked at that view and wept over Jerusalem. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wish to gather you as a hen gathers its chicks, but you would not." And so now Jesus forms his new kingdom and he gives the keys to Peter. "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Peter now is the key holder. And Jesus has a play on words in Hebrew and in Latin, in Greek the same. "You are Peter, and upon this rock." The word is almost sounds exactly the same. "You are Peter, and on this Peter I will build my church." And so the rock is no longer the physical city of Jerusalem in Israel, but Peter himself. Christ establishes his church on Peter of the 12 apostles, and he gives Peter the keys. Who you decide Peter enter heaven will enter, who you decide not will not. Christ founded only one church, and the founder of that upon which he built it is Peter, not Pastor Bob, Martin Luther, Zwingli, Calvin, whoever. It's only Peter. Christ established one church, not 20,000, and it's rooted in Scripture. It is clear that from the very beginning, by the will of God revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ, who is God and man, that he would found only one church upon the apostles, and of them, Peter is the gatekeeper. Peter is the holder of the keys. There is only one church that Christ has founded, and it is upon Peter. And Peter is buried where? In Rome, in the Basilica of St. Peter. And if you look up online or in any encyclopedia who founded the Roman Catholic Church, every single one of them will tell you Peter did. When you're engaging with non-Catholics, their music might be better, their preaching could be better, their church is more amazing, the concert, the coffee, the social, the friendliness, the gathering, the crowds may be better. But ask them, who started your church? A quick Google search will help you find out. And I guarantee you that will not show you any of the 12 apostles, save but the Orthodox Christians. When you Google who started the Catholic Church, it will tell you Peter. And then we go back to Isaiah 22. Where did this begin? And then we go to Matthew 16. Where is this fulfilled? And it is Peter, and Peter alone. As Roman Catholics, our pride and joy is not that we necessarily have the best music. though it can always improve. It's not necessarily that we have the best preaching, though that definitely needs to improve. It's not because we have the friendliest people. We definitely got to work on that. It's not because we're more perfect and holy than they are. We already know for a fact of our horrific history since 2000 being revealed, 2002. But you only have to go to the Gospel of Mark. Jesus chose those bishops and they were a train wreck. And now we have sinners choosing the future bishops. It's not gotten any better and it won't. Then why are we Catholic? Because I believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and all that he taught. And what he taught and revealed is that he founded only one church. And that's rooted on Peter. And as Roman Catholics, we are they. That is our foundation. That is the core of our identity. So yes, out of deference to Christ and his choice to found the church upon Peter, to which we belong, under his successor today, Pope Francis, we do need to improve on a lot of things. But the one thing that can never change, that we cannot change, is that Christ founded only one church, and it's the Roman Catholic Church, led by Peter and continued in an unbroken line of succession until Pope Francis today. That is our pride, our joy, the core of our identity. Peter made this act of faith, not by his own accord. He's a sinner. He denied Jesus 3 times on the night of his arrest, cursing all the while, and then abandoned the Lord when he needed him most as he slowly died on the cross. Peter didn't earn this position. He wasn't worthy of this position, but he was called. And Christ chose to establish it upon him, just as he does upon the Pope today, our local bishop, and me, your pastor. Sinners that we all are, but chosen and called by God to give glory to him, standing firmly on the foundation of Peter, the rock upon which Christ built his only church. There are holier people out there than some of us Catholics. There are better music, better preaching, better churches, better sound, better everything. But what does that have to do with what Christ founded and what Christ taught? Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you will have no life within you. Do this in memory of me. The Catholics, with all of our imperfections, fulfill what Christ commanded. We don't pursue entertainment for religious purposes. We don't seek out what is comfortable, what is convenient for self-serving purposes, but rather we look to Christ as Lord and God, and whatever he says, we will do. Whatever he says, we have done. Whatever he has said, you are doing now. That's why any Christian rooted in Scripture will have the same one common cry. I am with Peter.